Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 20, Bali Maharaj surrenders the universe. We're beginning by reading text number 20 in the translation. The Gandharvas, the Kimpurushas, and the Kanaras sounded thousands and thousands of kettle drums and trumpets again and again. And they sang in great jubilation, declaring, "How exalted a person is Bali Maharaj, and what a difficult task he has performed." Even though he knew that Lord Vishnu was on the side of his enemies, he nonetheless gave the Lord the entire three worlds in charity. Text 21. Tadvamanam rupam avardatad bhutam. Harer Anantas Kuna Triyatmakam Bukam Disho Dwar Vivara Payodayas. Sriyan Rideva Risheyo Tarasata. That Vamanam, incarnation of Lord Vamana, Rupam, form, Avardhata, began to increase more and more, Adbhutam, certainly very wonderful, Hare, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anantasya, of the unlimited, Gunatraya Atmakam, whose body is expanded by the material energy, consisting of three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Boo, the land. Kam, the sky. Disha, all directions. Dwau, the planetary systems. Vivara, different holes of the universe. Payodayaha, great seas and oceans. Tiryak, lower animals, birds and beasts. Re, human beings. Deva, demigods. Rishaya, great saintly persons. Yat, wherein. Asata, lived. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had assumed the form of Vamana, then began increasing in size, acting in terms of the material energy, till everything in the universe was within his body, including the earth, the planetary systems, the sky, the directions, the various holes in the universe, the seas, the oceans, the birds, beasts, human beings, the demigods, and the great saintly persons. Purport. Bali Maharaj wanted to give charity to Vamanadeva, but the Lord expanded his body in such a way that he showed Bali Maharaj that everything in the universe is already in his body. Actually, no one can give anything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for he is full in everything. Sometimes we see a devotee offering Ganges water to the Ganges. After taking his bath in the Ganges, a devotee takes a palmful of water and offers it back to the Ganges. Actually, when one takes a palmful of water from the Ganges does not lose anything. And similarly, if a devotee offers a palmful of water to the Ganges does not increase in any way. But by such an offering, the devotee becomes celebrated as the devotee of Mother Ganges. Similarly, when we offer anything with devotion and faith, what we offer does not belong to us, nor does it enrich the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if one offers whatever he has in his possession, he becomes a recognized devotee. In this regard, the example is given that when one's face is decorated with a garland and sandalwood pulp, the reflection of one's face in a mirror automatically becomes beautiful. The original source of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is our original source also. Therefore, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is decorated, the devotee and all living entities are decorated automatically. Translation: the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had assumed the form of Vamana, then began increasing in size, acting in terms of the material energy, till everything in the universe was within his body, including the earth, the planetary systems, the sky, the directions, the various holes in the universe, the seas, the oceans, the birds, beasts, human beings, the demigods, and the great saintly persons. Krishna sometimes shows his universal form. When Mother Jasoda heard from Balaram that Krishna had eaten dirt, that Krishna denied it. He said, actually, we had a fight today. Balaram and my elder brother and my friends, they got into a fight with me, and now they're complaining against me. So Mother Jasoda said, well, if it's true that it was just an unnecessary complaint, let me see in your mouth if there's any dirt. So Krishna opened his mouth, and there was a lot of dirt. Matter of fact, there were all the planetary systems, there was time, were the demigods, even Lord Brahma was sitting on a lotus flower. And Mother just sort of became bewildered. What am I seeing? Is this some trick of the illusory energy? Are the demigods playing some trick on me? Is my son actually some kind of special personality, like some highly advanced demigod? What is this all about? And then Krishna cut off the vision. Mother Jasoda just thought Krishna was her little child again. Similarly, we find Lord Chaitanya showed his universal form to Advaita Acharya because Advaita Acharya requested to see it. Krishna even showed some universal forms to Duryodhana. He showed his universal form to Arjuna. So, and in Bhagavad Gita, there's a description of what Arjuna was observing. Agyaki ko bo, agyaki ke bo bhavan ugro rupo. Mosute deva ra prasida, vigyatami chami vavantamadya, ihi prajanami teva pravritim. Akyaki me ko bhavan ugra rupo. I want to understand what I'm seeing, this horrible ugra rupo, this horrible feature of Krishna. Namostute deva vraprasida. So I'm asking your mercy, can you please explain to me, akyaki ko bhavan ugra. Tell me what this horrible feature is. Just a few minutes ago, had this beautiful form, you were talking to me as Krishna, and suddenly, I don't know what happened to you. Did I say something wrong? And now you're displaying this horrible feature. What's going on? Namostute deva vraprasida. Vigyatam ichchami bhavantam adyam. I want to know what's going on. Ichchami bhavantam adyam. Dihi prajanami tava pravritim. I want to know, pravritim, why are you displaying this form? This horrible feature that you're called the universal form. So Krishna doesn't say, well, I got up on the wrong side of the bed yesterday, and therefore, I'll try to control myself a little bit more. No, Krishna immediately says that kalosmi lokashe krit pravrido lokansa maharte miha pravritak vitepi na tvam na Kalos mi lokashe krit pravrido lokansa maharte miha pravritak itepi tvam nabhi vachanti sarve yevastita pratnyukeshu yoda. Time I am, the destroyer of all the worlds, and I have come here to destroy everyone. Except for you, the five Pandavas, everyone here on both sides are going to be slain. So we shouldn't think, oh, poor Arjuna, he was on the battlefield, Krishna displayed this horrible feature, Krishna told Arjuna, I'm time, I'm going to kill everyone here. Luckily, that was 5,000 years ago, and now we're safe. We don't have to worry about this feature of Krishna, because Krishna went back to his own abode, and he probably, you know, he's not going to display this horrible feature anymore. Now, in one sense, as Vamadeva explained, or demonstrated, even some time ago, many, many kalpas ago, that Vamadeva showed that he was already, everything was in his body. Not only within Krishna's body, but within all his expansions, especially as Vamadeva or others, this universe is within him, and time doesn't go away. Of course, it goes away when the universe goes away, but it lays dormant. Time is eternal. As Ishvara, Krishna, is eternal, as the Jiva is eternal, so time is eternal, and Prakriti, the material nature, is eternal. The only thing that's different is time, when it's influencing the material nature, it appears to be ever-changing. That's called karma. Material nature actually doesn't change, it's eternal. It's always the same energy, Brahman transforming itself in different ways. But due to the soul's karma, his desires, and his actions according to those desires, which is just another form of desire, or Krishna is manifesting those desires in form of activities because of the strong desire of the soul. Therefore, karma comes into being, and that's only temporary. It's always changing. Everything we see is changing because the karma is changing. And we're always creating those conditioned souls who are not serving Krishna are creating fresh karma so the universe can go on until the annihilation where everything remains dormant for some time. And then again, the whole thing comes again. Manifest. Sarva bhutani, sarva something. Chapter 8. Sarva bhutani kontiya prakriti yanti mamikam kalpashe prunastami kalpadovishvitamiham. That at the beginning of the manifestation, I create everything. And then at the end, I destroy everything. Bhutagramam, again and again, this creation comes forth, and again, it's annihilated. And so one good thing here is we're living in Krishna, even if it's a horrible form of his, but it's meant to be horrible. Imagine if it was, everywhere we looked was Disneyland. I mean, I don't know if that's, maybe that's also horrible. I've never been there. Anyhow, for some people it would appear to be wonderful. We were living in Never Never Land with Peter Pan or something. They have Peter Pan here? Yes. Where we never grow up. A kind of perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Of course, people are in Never Never Land. They don't grow up around here. They remain children in some ways. In any case, this world is meant to be horrible, because if it wasn't horrible, we would want to stay here. Therefore, it's specifically meant to be as, for those who are interested in spiritual life, as horrible as possible. Until one actually enters into real spiritual life, and then one realizes that actually it's just it's not really horrible. It's just a play of Krishna's energy meant to inspire us to get out of this world. That's all. So ultimately it's very good. When you go to the dentist and you start hearing the drill, it sounds horrible. No one thinks, oh, what sweet music. Do you have another tune you can play? No, it sounds horrible, but it's for a good cause. And therefore we go there voluntarily. Unless you're a child and then mother has to drag you there. And I'll give you, you get a lollipop at the end. No, no lollipop. Okay, maybe a lollipop will do it. So the material world is like that. It's a, the drill is on us to make corrections. And at the end we get the lollipop. If we actually get our consciousness fixed. So the first thing, what is the real problem? The real problem, the basic problem, is that we don't believe that there is a Krishna, that Krishna exists, and all the implications that go along with it. We say, all right, Krishna exists, let him exist, so what? Big deal. Sure, so be it. Krishna, you can exist. I'll accept it. But Krishna owns everything. Wait a second. This is going too far. Your God is too extreme. What do you mean, everything? Okay, yeah, he has a planet. Go ahead, so be it. He can have... And we give him a little spot in our house. He can sit there. We even give him a little water. So he doesn't fall over from thirst. And every week or every month, we wipe the place down just... Just in case it got dirty. So, okay, stay there. Don't complain. But to think he owns everything, including my own body, everything going on in the body is all going on by Krishna's energies, and we're not even in control of it. Oh, this is too far. You mean I'm not moving my arms when I move my arms? Come on, you know, give me some credit. I'm a devotee, aren't I? Come on. I must be doing something, you know, something worth praiseworthy. Otherwise, why am I here? No, Krishna is the owner of everything, and his energies are what's moving everything. Oh, my God. And either spiritual or material. You mean even when I'm in the spiritual energy, my heart is so pure, and I'm doing so many things to help people, I can't even get the credit for that. Oh, this is really kind of... I joined the wrong movement. This is really too far. Therefore, we find that even the great personalities, the Gandharvas, the Siddhas, they were beating on thousands of drums because it's a hard thing. Even for them, it's hard to accept. Even you go up to the heavenly planets, you control the whole universe. You actually think you're controlling the universe. Otherwise, why did you work so hard to become a demigod? So even they think, wow, this is really amazing. Someone could actually, we're trying to control one little planet that we're on. He was controlling all the planets and he just gave it to this little Brahmin boy. I mean, that's really amazing. So even they were surprised. And of course, we're not surprised at all because we don't believe it. Big deal, so what? Some universe, all right. Could you give me my pen? Well, think about it. Okay, I'm surrendered. Where's the flowers? So it's one thing, the beginning, to accept that everything belongs to Krishna. Even our own bodies, etc. So it's a process of, that's why we have the Bhagavatam class. To try to convince, by logic and reasoning, that Krishna is actually God. Of course we can tell stories, and everyone can, you know, if they are tired, and they can fall asleep to a nice story. Or those who are awake, they can think, oh yes. Krishna is not so bad. There's some nice stories about him. But when we get down to the philosophy that, you know, surrender, oh my God, surrender, what kind of word is that? Could you imagine going out and distributing a book and you say, here's a book, what is it about? It's about surrender. To who? God. Oh my God. I better wash my hands. This is too much. I'm calling the police. There's a terrorist on the street. So that's hard enough to accept. And then the next thing, all right, Krishna owns everything. What can I do, you know? He's bigger than I. I'm not going to start a fight with him. And then the idea that I should find out what he wants me to do with his energies. All right, it's bad enough you're the owner, but come on, give me a break. Now you want me to be your slave? I got to find out whatever is around me, how to utilize it for you. It's bad enough you're the owner, but now you want to be the enjoyer also? You want to enjoy me? You're picking on me because I'm small? You're a bully or something? No, they actually understand that it's in our interest to find out what Krishna wants us to do with his energy, because he has a police force called Maya. And Maya, she's a very hard, very expert police force. She's everywhere. She knows everything. And she acts immediately. She doesn't wait for, you know, for an investigation, a court judgment, whatever. Maya immediately captures us and puts us into Maya. And Maya means suffering. Means we identify with his body. And we think, well, I'm not suffering. Sure. We'll just look around and see how many people are against the wall here. Because their back won't support them. And everyone else is on the floor. They're in all kinds of different positions. So just to sit in a class with his body, you know, is suffering. The lights go out. We don't know what kind of air is in the room. You know, we're hungry. My mind's disturbed by the class. I walked in here as a free person. I'm walking out as Krishna's slave. So to accept the fact that Krishna is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that I should find out what he wants me to do, if only so I don't get captured by Maya any more than I already am. So that I don't get burnt by the illusory energy, put in more anxiety than I'm usually in. When we're in less anxiety, we think, oh, now I'm peaceful. I'm only worried about 50 things instead of 500. So it's a good day. Let's see, check it off. I ate today, I slept, I didn't defend, and I didn't mate. But anyhow, it was a good day anyhow. And I got my 6 hours sleep as recommended, and I took my vitamin pills, so things are good. But to accept that Krishna, what Krishna wants, that takes intelligence. It actually takes more intelligence than it does just to accept that Krishna owns everything. It takes more surrender. Therefore, one has to study what Guru says, what Shastra says, what Sadhu says, and we have to find out what Krishna in the heart is talking, what he's saying through them. Because Krishna has one message. And Krishna is talking through our guru, through sadhu, and through shastra. It's not that there are many different messages. And he's talking to us within the heart through them. Or we should say through them. They're trying to tell us what Krishna is trying to tell us within the heart. So when we find that out, then we find out what Krishna wants us to do with his energies. Not that we're studying Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and we find out Krishna in the heart saying, oh, you're a wonderful person. Oh, thank you very much. That's what I wanted to hear. No, he's trying to tell us what he wants us to do with his energies. That's service. And the next thing is devotional service. When we find out what Krishna wants us to do, then become a little enthusiastic about it by finding out it's beneficial for myself and everyone else. That Krishna is actually the well-wisher of everyone. He's the best friend of everyone. everything he wants me to do will be beneficial for myself and everyone else. Therefore, I can do it with full enthusiasm. Even Arjuna was on a battlefield. Krishna told him to kill his relatives and everyone else. But still, he did it enthusiastically because he realized it was for everyone's well-being, best well-being. There could be nothing better than serving Krishna for the welfare of himself and everyone else. So only when we come to that conclusion by accepting that everything belongs to Krishna and everything is meant for Krishna's service, and we actually take seriously to find out what Krishna wants us to do with his energies and then do it with full knowledge, and that full knowledge will give us full enthusiasm to do it to please Krishna. Then we can always remain enthusiastic as long as we're connected with the right consciousness, with the right understanding. Then we'll always, whatever we're doing, we'll be doing in the consciousness that what I'm doing is beneficial. The best thing I could possibly do for myself and everyone else is to do what Krishna wants me to do with enthusiasm. Or that enthusiasm will come when we actually have some feelings, when Krishna is pleased with us and reveals himself to us, and therefore when we're actually thinking about him and experiencing his love and his devotees' love for everyone and everything, therefore we can do it with enthusiasm because we'll be enthusiastic. And we'll understand there's nothing better than that. There's nothing else to do except for that. There can't be anything better than that in any circumstance. Therefore, we don't have to learn a million things. We just have to learn those things. And then those million things will be able to be Krishna conscious, even in the midst of the million other things that may appear to us. So I'll stop there and thank you. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes. Lo and behold, it's time for the...
Okay. Hare Krishna Maharaj. It's not related to the class, but sometimes there is this type of programs in yoga studios where they chant different types of mantras. Some Hare Krishna, some other mantras. Is there, what do you think about this? Is there some benefit in some program, such programs?
Yeah, they do a little stretching. Get their digestion going a little bit. So there's some benefit. as far as chanting, you know, it depends on what the consciousness, what the knowledge behind it is, what the consciousness is. If they don't know who Krishna is, they don't know who these personalities are, then milk touched by the lips of a serpent causes poisonous effects. Chanting Hare Krishna, if they don't know, that's better than if they have some philosophy behind it. They think they're going to become Krishna or something, or Shiva, whatever. If they don't know what they're doing, they're probably better off. Unless they find out from a devotee what it's all about. Then it'll actually have some positive effect. Otherwise, if they don't know, then at least they're not offensive. And if they have the wrong idea, then they're going to hell. Hell means that anything outside of Krishna consciousness. Anything else?
So Maharaj, Hare Krishna, how I understood when we do service with proper consciousness, we think that there is no better than this, what we are doing right now, because there is beneficial for us and for everyone else.
Well, we'll actually experience the benefit.
Yeah.
It won't be just some theory. We'll actually be in ecstasy, loving ecstasy to Krishna and everyone and everything.
Yeah. If we are not in a good mood when we are doing some service, that means it is not good consciousness, actually. Just that.
Well,
something like that.
By definition, it's not a good consciousness. Yeah. If I said, yeah, you're in a bad mood, that's perfect consciousness. That's pure undevotional service. Anything else?
And one more point, when you said that if we have more knowledge, that we can have more enthusiasm. Actually, that's mean realized knowledge. As much realized knowledge as we have, well, we have more enthusiasm.
Even if we have some theoretical knowledge that everything belongs to Krishna, and then we apply that, you know, that actually try to do things with care and attention under Krishna's directions, and we try to do it with as much care and attention, then if Krishna is pleased with our effort, then he reveals himself to us to some degree. And then even if we're put into great difficulty, in some difficulty, and we still go on with the same consciousness, then Krishna is even more pleased. When we pass his tests, he's even more pleased. And as Prabhupada writes in the purport, when one passed the test of the self-realized spiritual master, he gives the disciple realized knowledge. Let me get the right exact words there. When one passes, one must be able to pass the test of the self-realized spiritual master. And when he sees the genuine desire of his disciple, he blesses him with genuine, when he sees the sincere desire of his disciple, he blesses him with genuine spiritual understanding. 34. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. When he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. So there's little knowledge. Hopefully we took something away from, for instance, this class today, that everything belongs to Krishna. We should find out what Krishna wants us to do, and we should do it to please him. So then if we try to apply it a little bit within our lives, then we get something positive, and we think, well, that worked out pretty well. But then again, we come into a similar situation, and there are some obstacles, and in spite of the fact that there's obstacles, then we still, with determination, we go on trying to apply that knowledge in our lives. Then the next thing applies. When the spiritual master sees the genuine desire of the disciple, one must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. And when the spiritual master sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses his disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. So then some higher consciousness comes. Tesham eva nukham partham ahama jnana jam tamaha nasham yami atma bhavashto jnana dipena bhashvata. Out of compassion for them, I dwelling in the heart, destroy within the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So then Krishna actually reveals himself, and one becomes, one experiences genuine spiritual pleasure. And that spiritual pleasure, that Ladini Shakti, burns away the ignorance within our heart, and there's genuine realization.
Thank you. One more thing maybe about surrender. I know in daily life there is so many difficult things to do for mind. I mean, I know I should do it. I should listen more carefully others. I should go to sleep a little more early or anything else. And it is difficult to meet that problem and deal with that. So about surrender, how to have desire to meet problem. At least to meet problem and to develop desire to change something. It is not so easy to move that step.
Well, take little baby steps. Don't try for big Trivikram steps. Take a little baby step. Anything else? Kuala Grandarashimad Bhaktam Kijai.